Blessed be the King. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. What a wonderful way to start out a Saturday. Just worshiping the Lord. Just acknowledging His presence. I want to welcome all of you. I want to thank you for coming. It's such a blessing. I know we were inundated with snow. I got stuck in my driveway this morning. But I'm here. So I just want to welcome you and thank you for coming. I want to thank also our wonderful worship team. Deb, Therese, it was great. Just such an honor the way you lead us into the presence of the Lord so that we can connect with Him. That is such a treasure, a gift. Thank you. This morning we've asked several people to share. Sherry Laurie had been asked to share, but she was called away by an emergency with her dad. So before we go any further, I'd like to just stop for a moment and pray for her and pray for her father. So just quiet your heart a little bit. Let's extend our love and our thoughts to Sherry Laurie and her dad. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just lift up Sherry right now. We pray that any concern in her heart would be quieted. I know she's close to her dad. And I just pray right now that you would intervene, that you would strengthen this dear man, and that you'd cause him to walk into a place of fresh renewal, fresh joy. Thank you that Sherry is able to be with him. I pray that you'll bring her back safely to us and with renewed joy. And Father, I want to bless everyone who's here this morning who has really paid the price plowing through our snow to get here. Father, I pray you'll just give them what they need to hear and that you'll bless them by the reports that they hear as well. In Jesus' name. So this morning, I'd like to introduce to you Dorothy Bacolak. As you remember, Dorothy was commissioned an evangelist. She's a wonderful minister of the gospel, a powerful teacher of the word, very prophetic. And she's going to bring us she's going to share with us her testimony about a journey she's taken in the Lord and what God did. Welcome, Dorothy.
Hallelujah. The worship was wonderful. As we were in worship, I began to call the Lord to take His place over Anchorage, to take His place over our state, over our village, over our villages. We call Him to take His rightful place in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Such a good God. I'm going to start sharing one of the things that the Lord did with me about 6 years ago? Gamble had, they wanted the healing for their village from all that they had been through with Christianity, the hurts that they went through in the early years with their church calling some parts of the culture demonic and bad. And they also wanted healing from different kinds of things, so they put together a conference, and they had Father Michael Oleska come down, and he taught what the beliefs were that came from Europe all the way up, down through the years, and then how those beliefs came into America with the Indians and defeating the enemy and taking the land as they go. And that was part of the belief, the sun never sets on Great Britain. Great Britain took over many countries, many lands, and they decimated the people, and they did the same thing here in America. And so Father Michael Oleska did a wonderful teaching there, and the next day they had me to come and teach on historical trauma. And I took the people from pre-contact, the losses that we've gone through as a people up till today, and how the Lord brings His truth so that He can bring healing to the hurts that people have gone through. And, you know, the gospel is simple. Some of the things that the teaching, the schools that I went through, Elijah House School of Ministry, they teach the principles of inner healing, and it's all based on scripture. Honor your father and mother that it might go well with you in the land that I've given you. How many of you, it didn't go well with you before you got saved? Yeah, so they teach that, and they also teach that whatsoever you sow, you will reap. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, you shall reap. And then the other one is judge. We don't judge, because with the same way that we judge, it will be measured back to us. And so some of those teachings are very, very simple, and it's that Satan is a father of lies. He's a liar, and he's a father of lies. So in that place of trauma, something that happens is the strongholds of the mind. The Bible talks about the strongholds of the mind. And I like to teach it like this. I'm just going to do a real quick basic thing. I was working at Old Minto Family Recovery Camp, and this is my first time into the interior. And while I was walking in the woods, I came upon this rabbit, and it's running around the tree. It's got something tied around its neck, and it's running around the tree for all it's worth, just running and running. And I looked at it, and I thought to myself, oh, they tie their rabbits around here. I didn't know about snares. I had not been taught about snares. And I didn't know that's how they catch rabbits. So what the enemy does from trauma is he takes the lies and he builds a snare around us. And he takes from the lies that we buy into, that he plants within us through hurt and pain and trauma, we also make agreement. And we make vows. I'll never let anybody hurt me again. I'll never trust. I just won't trust. People hurt me, so I just won't trust. And when we make those vows, what it is it's idolatry before God. Because we're telling God, you can't heal. I don't trust you to heal me. You can't heal me. I'll do it my way. And anytime we say, I'll do it my way, it's idolatry. And so part of the teaching is, and I'll just do a quick example. One of the things that happened with me when I was just little, I remember being kicked out of the house and told never to come back. We were probably fighting there. You know, my mom inherited 6 kids and when she married Dad. And then she had 3 more of us, 4 more of us. And those 4 of us that were small, we were probably fighting and getting into her hair. But she got angry and she told us to get out and don't ever come back. But I'm only 4 years old. And in my heart, guess what happened inside of me? Because I didn't understand that you don't judge. Whatever you judge, it will be measured back. And my judgment against my mother was, she's mean, she's bad. And so, if I dishonor my mother and call her bad for the way she treated me, and I sow that seed of dishonor, it's going to come back to me, yeah? And so this is what happens years later down the road. I get involved in a relationship. And guess what happens in this relationship? I get kicked out time after time after time. Whatever seed you sow, those are the laws of God. Whatever seed you sow, they're impersonal laws. And we don't know them as children. But if we sow them in anger, that anger lodges in our heart. It becomes a what was it that Pastor Strutz had, remember? Grudge. Yeah. I don't know how many of you remember his teaching. He had that awesome grudge. But so it becomes a grudge and it lodges in our heart and it stays there. And that's why those impersonal laws of God, they come into being. And we reap exactly what it is we judged. So that's part of what I teach. And I taught that there in Gamble. But I also taught the historical trauma of what we went through. And the long and short of it, I had the people to do corporate repentance for their sins. One of them was a sin of innocent blood shed on the land pre-contact. The wars that they had with the native people in Russia and the blood that was shed in the water and on the land. And then they repented for broken covenants. Anytime there's broken covenants, it invites curses to come upon the land. And other things, those rulers of darkness. The other thing that they repented for was broken covenants, innocent blood, witchcraft and idolatry. And then the fourth one, my mind is just kind of going blank. No. Broken covenant. Innocent blood shed on the land, broken covenants, witchcraft, idolatry, and sexual sin. So they went back and they just repented for the sins of their forefathers in all those areas. And they asked the Lord to cover their sin. And as they covered their sin with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, they began to speak over this generation that spirit of death that comes from that innocent blood shed on the land, that spirit of death over that generation is broken. And they began to speak and call in all those blessings because they've repented and they've covered the blood. They've covered their sin with the blood. And wherever the land was defiled, they asked the Lord to begin to bless the land. And I'll tell you what, we had church, huh? Yeah. Eleanor danced. It was wonderful. And then Sherry Laurie had been over in Israel, and she brought back water from the Jordan River. Or was it Ezekiel's spring? One of those places. But she brought that back and she said, Dorothy, I believe that God wants you prophetically to release this into the ocean. And so Lucy Apatiki and I, we went out to the ocean. It's all frozen. It's all ice, but it's going to melt, huh? So we took this water from the Jordan River and she felt led to read from Ezekiel chapter 47. And I'm going to go there just briefly. It says, it's talking about the healing waters and the trees. And this is where the water flows from the. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For from the front of the temple faced east, the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. And you know how the story goes, and I'm going to go up to verse 6. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? And he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned, there along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. And then he said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. And when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And as we poured that water, we began to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, this is your word. You said that this water is going to reach the sea, and we're proclaiming the healing of the waters all the way from the north, far north, Barrow, all the way down through the coastline into the Aleutian chain and into southeast of Alaska. We're claiming that the ocean waters are healed in Jesus' name. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed. And everything will live where the river goes. And it shall be that fishermen will stand by from En-Gedi to En-Gleim, and they shall be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamped and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Along the bank of the river and on this side and that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from this sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. And this is where Lucy and I, we made agreement and we reminded the Lord, Lord, your people repented and they covered the sin of innocent blood shed in the waters and upon the land. They covered it with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord God, we proclaim this land healed in Jesus' name. And we say, Father, every manner of food that is needed for the people is coming in. We began to call it in and call it in and call it in. And we called it in from all the way up to the north side of Barrow, all the way down through the coastline and all the way. And I'll tell you what, that summer, Lucy called me, or I ran into her someplace here in Anchorage, and she said, Dorothy, you want to know the fruit of that ministry? This summer we had fish, so much fish, and we don't catch reds, but we had so much salmon that our freezers are full of fish. And not only that, Dorothy, there's been so much walrus caught. Not every house has walrus because there's a lot of poor people that don't have boats and motors to go out. But she said, every single freezer is full of walrus. And they caught whales. They caught things. And when I heard this report come back, I knew that we were onto something. That when the Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And all these lies that the enemy has fed our people, they repented for believing the lie of the enemy. For from the great deaths way back in pre-contact that they went through there, they repented for believing the lie of the enemy that there's nothing we can do, that our people die and there's nothing we can do about it. And they began to proclaim that our people will live. Hallelujah. 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 And I'll tell you what, all the way from Barrow on down, I came back with reports that summer that there were whales caught plentifully. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I knew that God was up to something. But I'll tell you what, how many of you understand the scriptures that say that when a house is cleaned out, what does the enemy do? He goes into the dry places and then he walks around and he says he wants to go back. So we need people raised up who will understand how to hang on to victory, yeah? We need that. They need that. And I'll tell you that one of the things that happened when I went with a team from Elijah House and we went to Stebbins and St. Michael and all the way up from the far north where I've ministered, this is what I have seen. I have seen people so wounded that come to the Lord. And as they begin to understand that the trauma that they went through with sexual abuse and all the reaping that they did, you know, the sin that they did in their before they got saved, all the shame that's heaped upon them, that this is what the enemy wants to do. He wants to clothe them with shame. But Jesus came and he gave us gowns of salvation and robes of righteousness. And so when they go through that time of repentance, pulling down the lies of the enemy, breaking that snare, you begin to see God heal the people and to remove that cloak of shame so that they could walk in holiness and in freedom. But then again, we need people that will go. The harvest is white, but the laborers are few. So we need laborers called into the harvest field. And what's exciting about Stebbins is I saw people that came night after night after night, and they didn't just come for one time, they came night. And then in the daytime, they came for healing prayer, and they came for healing prayer, and I saw them there. Their little switches in their heads were turned on. Okay, all I have to do is repent for believing the lie of the enemy. And they were excited about some of the things where God released them from hurts within their family. But I also know this. This Kingdom Alliance network, that God wants to build a network across the state. And so the vision that Sherry and I have, and we're going to do this one of these times, we're going to take the school, and it's a two-week school, but when I'm able to travel and I'm able to stay in places for a long time. I'm not tied down to anything. And I'm willing to go there to the village to train up and raise these people that they can go. Because they got it. 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 And that's, I believe, that we're living in the time and a place where God is going to begin to raise up people. He's building his net so that we come out from under those rulers in heavenly places that were not meant to be. That's why Jesus, take your place. Take your place. Hallelujah. There's one last thing that I wanted to share. And this one is this lady. I listened to her at the Moravian Church. She came from a predominantly Catholic village. And how many of you understand that in the villages, that if you're Catholic or you're another denomination, they say, don't go to these other churches. Yeah. And so they don't go to other churches. And they don't know the Lord. They don't know salvation. But this lady said she was working at the Heritage Center in the summertime. And this couple came 3 days in a row to talk to her. And they talked to her about Jesus, and they told her she needed to read the Bible. She needed to go to church. And then she's excited about these people coming. They're strangers. She doesn't know them. But then she's an alcoholic as well, so she drinks and she drinks and she drinks and she drinks. But they're supposed to have left, and the next day they came back again, and they said, we have a word for you. You are to read, starting from Acts, the book of Acts, all the way to Hebrews. And God's going to use you. He's going to set you up to share your testimony. And you're going to share it to the people so that there's hope. And anyways, she forgot about these people. They left in summertime. And then January comes around and she remembers, oh, yes. They told me I'm supposed to read. I forget where I'm supposed to read from. I think it's Acts. So she started reading from the book of Acts, not saved, still drinking, all the way through to the end. And she said the voice came to her and said, you need to go to church. So she went to her denominational church, and as they're singing, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. She was singing for all she's worth, how sweet it is to trust in Jesus. And the pastor said, I don't know how people that can think they can live any old which way and sing this song. And her heart got pierced because they knew that she drank. And so she got hurt and she left the church. And 3 months later, she's sitting in her living room, and she'd read the Bible by this time, more of the Bible by this time. And in her dream, there's a huge bowl, and it's dark. Big, big bowl in the land, and it's dark. And in there, she can see people with their booze and their alcohol, and they're crying, and they're hurting. And she says this bright being came and stood next to her. And as this being stood next to her, there's bright, bright light coming from him, and she knows it's Jesus. But he gently touched her shoulder on this side, and she fell in. And she's in this darkness and with all this alcohol, and she's hurting, and she's scared, and she's crying. And then she said, and he took a breath in, and when he took a breath in, she instantly came into his nostrils, and she was back out safe again. Interesting. And as she's sharing her testimony, I suddenly had a vision that God turned a page. The same way that he's showing up to Muslim people, he's going to begin to show up to our native people in such a way that those that are cut off from the gospel, he's going to show them who he is and bring them in. Hallelujah. I knew it, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. And there's one last thing this lady did. When she woke up, the Lord told her, you need to go to church. And she said, Lord, I'm not going back to that church where I got hurt. You need to show me. And she said she looked up on her wall, and written on her wall, go to Skyline Foursquare. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've turned a page. God has turned a page that he's going to begin to work the miraculous. He's going to begin to do all those things that were spoken last night. It's not if, ands, or buts. And it's not by accident you're here. Because there's things that God wants to do within our state. There's a people that need salvation. There's a people that need teaching. There's a people group that God is building his network. And he's using every single one of us. Hallelujah.
Before you go, Dorothy, can you just lead us in a prayer of repentance about believing the lie of the enemy? If you could just do that. And the other thing I wanted to say is that, you know what, Bristol Bay, over the last 2 years, had record harvest in Bristol Bay, and they're predicting another record harvest. And I believe that's the pouring out in faith and healing of the waters also.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. One of those things that the Lord had to heal me of was, I'm not lovable. I'm not good enough. And, you know, we know the Bible. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do. We know the Bible. And the enemy knows my weaknesses, those criticisms that I grew up with. And so when I hear the word, you got to read their word. And then I don't have time for the word. Guess where I get attacked? I'm not good enough. I didn't do what I'm supposed to do. And so God is not a God that he doesn't bring condemnation. He's a God that brings conviction. And when he brings conviction, he wants, it's with love. And you fall in love with him and want to do what's right, right? And so even today, I still have to go before the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, and those of you that have had those strongholds over your mind that you're not good enough, you can pray this with me. Lord God, I come before you with grateful heart. And Jesus, today I repent for believing the lies of the enemy that I'm not good enough. Father, those places where I've been hurt and wounded, those judgments that I made in anger, I repent, God, from making agreement with the enemy. That I'm not good enough. That I don't deserve good things. That I'm not lovable. That people will not be there for me. As I repent, Lord, I pull these strongholds, these lies, down by the blood of Jesus. And Father, Lord Jesus, in my hurt and pain, I made vows that I just won't trust anyone. And the vows that I made, that I'll hurt you before you hurt me. That I'll walk away. I just walk away. I'll not be a part of your life. All those ways that I protected myself, Father, I see the idolatry. And I just repent, Lord God. I renounce those vows in Jesus' name. And Lord, right now, every spirit attached to those lies and those vows have to go in Jesus' name. I place the cross of Jesus between me and any reaping of any judgments that I've made. And I release forgiveness to all those who tempted me to believe those lies. I release forgiveness to all those who hurt me. In Jesus' name. And right now, Lord, as I place the cross, Jesus, you reap any curse that was to settle on me. No more will I reap from any of these strongholds. In Jesus' name. I make declaration today that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I am free to build. I am free to go. I am free to teach. And I make declaration that my family is part of this covenant, and they too will walk in freedom. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Whoa. That was powerful. Thank you, Dorothy. Glory. Now, look for fruit. Watch for fruit. You'll see fruit coming because of this. And it really is that simple, because the blood of Christ is that powerful. Now I'd like to introduce my very dear, wonderful friend of long standing, Judith Green. Judith Ann Green has been commissioned as a prophet to the body of Christ, and I've known her for 30 plus years, and she's always had an exemplary walk with the Lord. The word of the Lord is rich in her. I mean, she's saturated with the word, and we've asked her to come and share what the Lord is speaking in this hour, what she's hearing the Lord say, what she's seeing the Lord do. We felt it would be important for you, and open your ears to hear. And bless this servant of the Lord. Jude, come.
Did you hear that? I thanked her for not saying old friend. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. isn't God good to us? I was sitting here. That prayer was just powerful, Dorothy. And it just opened my heart in a precious way. And I know that was the same thing that was happening to you. I wonder if we can connect again in that place in our hearts and begin to just pray in tongues and sing in tongues. Stand up if you want to, whatever you want to do. But we're going to just crash through here. Let's just go in to the most holy place because Jesus made a way for us to go in. And don't hold back. Oh, we worship you, God. Faithful, faithful Jesus. Holo rondoro hoko shori ari abarandoro hori ari arandoro. Hoya ya ya ha ya yandara ha ha sha ya ha ha ya yandara ha da ha bara a ha sha ba ara ando oko a ya yanda ara o rondora ha ka sha bi di abarandora. You're worthy, you're worthy. We magnify your name, we magnify your name. Oh, glory to the living God. Sha ba randora hoko. Oh, di 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 abarandi di hi di abba. Oh, Abba, Abba, Abba. Abba, we worship you. We worship with all the angels. We worship, oh God. You're the God of courage. Cause courage to arise on the inside of us, oh God. We lay our head upon your breast, Lord Jesus. Oh, we comfort with you, Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but there's some dance in this. Come on. Move your feet a little bit there. You're the God of the breakthrough. And you've broken through like many waters for us, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Oh, thank you. Thank you for your tenderness, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for washing us white as snow. Thank you that you cause us to sparkle and be full of light because you are light. Oh, we glory in your presence, Lord God. Glory, we glory in your presence. Allow your weighty presence to fill us and cover our cities and cover our state and cover our nation and cover the nations of the earth. Oh, we call for the glory of the Lord to pour forth. Oh, because you're faithful, oh God. You're good and you're kind. And we magnify your name. Oh, we magnify your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, Mary asked me to just share what I was hearing, and I felt like the Lord just said, take four key things that I've spoken to you this year and just share those revelations. The first revelation was an open vision that God gave me. The second one was a dream. The third one was a personal prophetic word that the Lord just spoke to me. And the fourth one was a word given to the church. And I wanted to say that because when we're talking about the prophetic, wow, something stirs on the inside of you. So when I'm sharing prophetic things, I know God is doing something on, I mean, he's just got the stir going on in the inside of you, and he's releasing the prophetic. He said that eagle's eye, there was an arising of the eagle during this hour in the prophetic. So just allow yourself not just to listen and not just to hear and see, but also to be with him. Lean on him while you're hearing, because it's his presence that does the work in us, through us, and is just pouring around the earth, pouring all over the earth. Okay, first revelation, I was sitting with 30,000 worshipers from around the world. And you know what? Worship today was every bit as powerful as that worship was, whether it's a few or whether it's many. But I'm saying 30,000 to say it was representative of what God was doing around the earth. And but I was minding my own business when I began to see a vision. And literally, I had my eyes wide open, and I saw a building, and it was brick. And this building began to, in slow motion, brick by brick, begin to collapse to the ground. I mean, it was awesome. It was like it filled my whole vision, and it was all collapsing. And the Lord said, I am dismantling society as you know it, brick by brick. He said, I'm doing it not to destroy, but I'm doing it to restructure. Because it's really important for us to understand when we're seeing something like that, when everything that we've held dear, do you know what I'm saying? Things are beginning to shift, shake, and fall, aren't they? And fear can come to us. And God doesn't want us to have a spirit of fear whatsoever. His perfect love casts out every bit of that fear. And even when I was seeing this, it was awesome, but it wasn't fearful. Because he said, I'm dismantling. And what he said was, those things that have been made after the flesh will begin to fall. And now is the hour to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Whoa. Now I feel the presence of God all over us. We will walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because I'll tell you what, everything that's flesh is caving in. And so as that began to cave and he began to speak to me, he said, this is the currency of this hour. Because I was concerned, you know, everything's collapsing. And I thought, said, Father, is there anything that you want to tell me about finances? You know, we have our little issues, don't we? And he said, the currency of this hour is to know my ways, or walk in my ways to know me and walk in the Holy Spirit. And he said it was actual, it would be like money for us. And that's what we would spend. We'd walk in the Spirit, and we would do miraculous things. When Elijah went to the brook Cherith, and the ravens fed him, and he drank from the brook, I mean, it was miraculous. Hey, we're in a time of that kind of miraculous. And this fleshly stuff is falling away. But what is rising is the power of the Holy Spirit within us so that we will not be afraid, but we will be courageous. And we will have the currency of the kingdom, which is to walk in the Spirit, to speak the word of God, to just what we were doing, and speaking in tongues, to making declaration, to repentance for things that we need to repent for. It's walking in the Spirit, isn't it? And so I felt like that was a foundational word that God was giving me for, he'll speak to me about things going all over the earth. And, you know, I was, I don't remember where I was. Kansas City, I guess I was. So I was far from here, but I knew it applied to us in Alaska as well. This is the time to walk in the Spirit, and we will have currency to spend during that time. A foundation that he was laying. It's all about the Holy Spirit. And then he spoke to me a scripture, which is Romans 5, 3-5. And you can look that up, but I'll just kind of paraphrase it. We count it, we glory in tribulation. Because tribulation works patience, steadfastness, strength on the inside of us. And that patience that is being formed in us forms character. And that character, where we walk in the character of God himself, forms a hope that comes up on the inside of us. I'm seeing hopeless people everywhere I go. But we can walk in the Spirit, and hope comes up on the inside of us. And it says this, hope does not disappoint, because... this is why he's dismantling, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And we don't need to fear. We just take a hold of our Papa, and we take a hold of that leading of the Holy Spirit, and we recognize his ways may lead us where we glory in tribulation. But we have to, Dorothy said it, boy, I felt the presence of God on it. We have to persist in victory. We have to keep on keeping on. That's what steadfastness is. That's what keeping patience is all about. And so then the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and we walk in the Spirit. We don't walk in the flesh. So that was foundational when God gave that to me. He gave me then a dream. Now, that first one was January. By April, he gave me a dream. And in the dream, I was taking care of my grandchildren. It was out in the forest, and I was taking care of my grandchildren, and someone took over for me, and then I walked to a laundromat, and I went in to wash my clothes. My daughter was 10 minutes the other direction, and so this was sort of the setting. And in the laundromat, the radio was on. Do we have such a thing, radios? We still have radios? The radio was on, and it actually was saying a huge tornado is coming, and this is not even right language, but it's what it said on the radio, that it was a class 5 tornado. And in other words, it was a top-level tornado, and it was coming, and it was saying, find shelter, find shelter, find shelter. Immediately, my heart kind of tripped a little bit like this, because my grandchildren were 10 minutes away. And then my daughter was 10 minutes the other direction. And I went outside, and I saw the tornado coming. I mean, whoa! It was ripping through the trees. It had such awesome power. It was shocking. And I thought, I left my purse in there with that lady. And my gold nugget necklace is in my purse. And I was standing right there looking and trying to decide. I thought, forget the purse, forget the necklace. Well, how am I going to get 10 minutes to my grandkids when they're right in the path of this thing? Oh, my daughter is the other direction. And I recognized instantly the only hope was to find shelter. And the presence of the Lord was the only shelter that there was. There were trees on one side. The tornado was tearing up the trees. There was a lake on the other side. There was nowhere to go in the flesh, nowhere to go. Humanly speaking, but the presence of God. And I woke up, I sat up in bed, and I said, oh, we're not ready. This was a dream about consecration. God's got the foundation of how we walk in the Spirit, but we can make choices to yield to Him and to consecrate everything we have so that we don't have any idolatry. We don't have anything, whether it's money or whether it's things or whether it's grandchildren or whether it's children, whether it's homes, everything we're saying, my God, because He showed me this tornado, which you would think, you know, what is this, some kind of mass destruction? This was kind of pre-ISIS being as much in the news as it is now. I knew it wasn't about that. It was about the awesome power of God, that the power of God was coming. And it's so awesome and so terrible in that sense of, oh, my God, you are an all-consuming fire. But you see, the place of safety is not anything natural again. The place of safety was running into His presence, running right into His presence. Well, now I just felt the Holy Spirit hovering over the room. You feel that presence? That's your place of safety. That's the place of safety for your grandchildren, your children. It's the place of safety for husbands, for wives. For all that you have, you consecrate afresh to the presence, the glorying, the glorified presence of the living God. Oh, Father, we lay aside right now everything of the flesh that has taken its grip or snared our hearts. Everything, even of our families, of our possessions that you've given us, we lay them down right now. Because we need you. We need your presence. Oh, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. And we thank you for that peace that you're causing to rest over our hearts, even now. No matter what comes, no matter what name is put on it, No terror by night. No, we just renounce those things and agree that you are our shelter. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We just love your feathers upon our face. We love resting with you in that place, oh God. Thank you for your safety for our hearts. Thank you for your safety for us and all that pertains to us. You are a strong tower. Your name is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, we magnify you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now that's pretty nice. That was April. In August, I was sitting outside enjoying our fabulous summer. Didn't we have a fabulous summer? I was just sitting there, and I was waiting on the Lord, and I was getting ready to go to England, and I wanted to hear from him, because the things that God is doing that I said right now, they're for Alaska, they're for Anchorage, but they're for the whole globe. This is a global thing that God is doing. So I'm just sitting there minding my business, enjoying the sunshine, and the Lord said, look up. And I looked up. He said, look to the heavens. And it was like I could see right out of our natural skyline into the heavenlies. I could see into the galaxies. And the Lord said, I am about ready to do something in the heavens that's going to make a change on earth. I am going to do this thing in the heavenlies, and even as the biggest thing of the galaxies is something that will change, so the very smallest things on the inside of you will change as well, because I'm the God of everything. I'm the eternal, everlasting God. And so I'm looking up. I mean, I was expecting to see something even as I was looking up right then. But he was saying he was making a change. And then he began to speak to me about the elections. And he said, I have a surprise in the elections. You can begin to rejoice about what I'm going to do with the election. And you know, and I'm going, oh, that's really good. That's something that I was concerned about. And he begins to speak about small things, and he begins to speak about larger things. And while I'm watching, he said, this that I'm doing in the heavens, he said it was coming in September. We'd noticed the results of it very significantly in October. And he said, eyes that have been blind will open. Eyes that have been deceived will see the truth. And eyes that have not been able to focus, hold their focus, are going to see clearly. He said, I'm changing everything. And I was aware, oh my God, I mean, I could hardly breathe when I was sitting outside. I was so aware of the weighty power of God that down to the tiniest, tiniest little part of my DNA, he was changing something all the way to the galaxies. Because it's an amazing thing to watch. I've lived through one revival. Mary and I lived through one revival. It was a phenomenal move of God. Judith was a part of that as well. And what I was recognizing is that same kind of power was being released again. That same kind of changing was going on again. And that kind of promise was going on again. And he said, this has to do with the release of the supernatural, that you would walk in a new way in the supernatural. Because you're seeing something that he's doing supernaturally, and then in the smallest aspects, whether it's in your personal life or in your neighborhood or, you know, in your city or state or in your nation, you can believe that God is doing a supernatural and powerful thing. And all it takes, have you ever thought about that? One day there's no outpouring, and the next day there's an outpouring. Wow, you know, we've cried and we've prayed and we've desired it. We've wanted to walk in those things. And God said he was doing this. And he said, he said, you'll see the results of it coming in October. I didn't realize, you know, in October there was some pretty bad news that was going on. But inside I was going, my God, you are waking us up. You are waking us up to be able to see in the supernatural, walk in the supernatural, do the supernatural, because you're the Almighty God and you can do it. And so I was very encouraged to see. I went to different places to minister, and I saw a change. I saw that something had unlocked. Something has unlocked. It's unlocked in our state. Isn't it the truth? It's unlocked in our city. It's unlocked. There's something unlocking in America. I'm seeing something rise up. I read plenty of the bad news, but I'm telling you what? The power of God is being poured forth. You know, well, it's a powerful thing that he's doing. All right, so then God gave me another revelation. I'd been gone out of the city for about a month. It really helps. Have you ever noticed if you are in your city, Mary was saying last night, get very sensitive to the atmosphere. Walk in the spirit. Be aware of what's going on. There are times when you recognize, well, there's a spirit here and I'm taking authority over that thing right now. I'd love it when it's a spirit. Because, you know, if I have to deal with my soul, it's a little bit messy. But if I have to deal with a spirit, I just go submit myself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Yes, amen. So when you come into atmosphere like that, be aware of what's going on. And so God was giving me a revelation when I came back into the city. And I went to church. God gave me a word before the service for the pastor. I saw him dressed up in armor, like a Roman armor. And he was dressed up for a battle, and he was a leader in the battle. And he had a sword, and he was moving forward with that sword. There wasn't any fear in him. There wasn't any hesitation. It was a thing of the spirit. I was really aware of the glory and the light of God that was all over him, glinting off of that sword. I mean, it was a supernatural thing. And he was leading a charge that had to do with a battle. And man, I saw this battle, and I said, sometimes when you tell people things like this, the first thing they think of, what's going to go wrong in my family now? Don't you think that way sometimes? You know, you go, oh, a battle. Well, this was not a personal battle. I knew it, and I said, this is not about your family. Don't even think about your family. This is a battle in the heavenlies of some kind. That's all I knew. So I went over, and I sat down, and I'm minding my business during worship. And God begins to speak to me. And here's how he spoke. I saw angels. Everywhere I looked, I saw angels. The angels were warring in the heavenlies. And there were demonic beings that were warring against these angelic beings. And this thing was raging. I saw it above me, and what a battle. And, you know, I realized this morning when I was thinking about this, the last time I saw that kind of battle with angels was right before the outpouring that we went through in the 60s and 70s. It is here. And you see, the release of the angels is exactly that same kind of thing, but there's a battle that's going on in the heavenlies. And so when I saw the angels battling, the Spirit of the Lord said that this warfare is going on, but the angels of God knew the victory had already been won at the cross, at the cross of Jesus. That's why Dorothy took us to the cross, to stand with the cross, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that these angels knew that the battle had already been won by Jesus. But the demonic forces did not. They were just fighting like crazy. They didn't have a clue. They did not know that the battle had already been won. And so there was such joy in the heavens as I saw these angels winning out over these demonic powers. And I realized they're warring for us. They're warring for us. And this is what he said. The battle has been engaged. He said that this battle that is raging is for the souls of humankind. There is a battle raging, And now God has released a breakthrough. Literally, when he was speaking to me about looking in the heavens and seeing what he was doing, he said, I'm the God of the breakthrough. And he gave me 1 Samuel 5. 1 Samuel 5 is a story about David when he became king after all those years of suffering. He finally, the people declared him king, and the Philistines said, fine, we'll overwhelm him. And they came against him in great force, and he ran into the presence. He ran away from the fleshly decisions into the presence of God to hear from the Spirit of God. And in the presence, he said, should I go up against the Philistines, Lord? And the Lord said, go. And in the valley of Rephaim, which is the valley of giants, the valley of giants, David said, God broke through for me like the breaking through of many waters. God went ahead of me and broke through like the valley of many waters, like a torrent. And that's what God has done for you. And that's what God has done for me. That's why the villages are free, because God has made a breakthrough so that the snare can be removed. But let me say this. Somebody has to go and remove the snare, don't they? So David won the battle against the Philistines, but they came right back after him. And he went to God again because he didn't go the way of the flesh. He didn't go the way of his natural reasoning, but he went to the Lord who had broken through for him like the breakthrough of many waters. And he said, should I go? And the Lord said, don't go. See what I'm saying about walking in the Spirit, hearing the things of the Spirit, knowing the atmosphere that's around you, activating the prophetic within you to see, hear, and be led by the Spirit of God. Then God said, no, don't go. Wait. Wait until you hear the sound of the marching in the mulberry trees. And then go around, and I'll give you the victory. And it was a supernatural victory. Supernatural. I am telling you, this is not the time of natural warfare. This is the time of supernatural warfare. God said that he was releasing signs, wonders, and miracles because he's got this warfare going on in the heavenlies. And we win, and we know it. And the angels know it, and God knows it. Hey, we don't have anything to be fearful about because our good and faithful God has won the victory. We're just going to walk in the Spirit and walk in his ways and know him and be loved by him and love him and not believe the lies of the enemy. And we're going to see the breakthrough, and we're going to see the supernatural. It's happening. There was a lady I was praying for in New York. She had a shoulder that she could not move. It was absolutely frozen. So they take people like that into surgery, and they have to put them out and surgically remove that frozen shoulder constriction. That she just said, I have this, and I also have colitis, and I need prayer. And you know, there was the sweetest outpouring of the Spirit of God, and I just said to her arm, I'm speaking to you, arm and shoulder. Breakthrough, open up, move. And I said to her, now just move it as much as you can. And she's got this thing all tight like this, and she went. And I said to everyone around her, shout for victory. Come on, shout for victory. She couldn't move that arm before. And I said to her, because we're going to, and we began to shout, and we began to worship. Because this is a supernatural thing. God said, this is a time for us to break through in the supernatural because he wants to bring many people into the kingdom of God. And so she said, oh, oh, she put her arms in the air and she began to worship God, and she was totally healed. It's the time, see, of the marching and the mulberries. It's the time of supernatural signs, wonders, and miracles. But it's the sign for you to be released so that you go into your neighborhoods, you go to your family, you go on the streets, you go to the downtown soup kitchen, and you tell people by the prophetic moving of God, Father, should I go there? Should I not? Should I say this? Should I not? Should I lay my hands here? Should I not? You move in the Spirit, and God has set us up for this time. This is happening all over the earth. This is a global thing. All over the earth, God is moving supernaturally. Signs, wonders, miracles. I'm telling you, the raising of the dead. He is delivering people. It's not coming. It is here. It is here. The sign in the heaven has already happened. The change has already opened the eyes. We are awake now, and we are looking at what God is saying to this hour. Whoa, the raging battle is on. But in the church is a shout of victory. Is it in you? Is it in you? Oh, we shout to you, Lord God. Come on. Come on, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Fill us with your presence. Fill us with your presence. We worship you for victory. We worship you for signs, wonders, and miracles. We worship you, oh God. Oh, we fall upon you. We magnify you. Oh, God. Oh, God. Thank you, my God. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Father. And Father, I'm praying right now for every one of us in this room, for everyone we're connected with. I'm praying for the release, the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, bubble up, open up eyes, look to the heavens. The raging is going on, but the victory is won. Oh, we glory in you. We give you every obstacle, every wrong thought, every incorrect way of thinking, we renounce and we put it at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We take our unbelief and we put it at the cross of Jesus Christ. We lean in to trust you, Lord God. We've renounced any vows that we would not or any thing that we've spoken. We lean into you. We trust you. We're vulnerable and we're needy, and you are so good and so faithful. You are the God of the breakthrough. Oh, God of the breakthrough. You know what's going on in our lives, and we turn our lives over to you. Breakthrough. Break us out and break in to every dark place in Anchorage, in Alaska, every dark place in the United States. Come on, breakthrough, God. Oh, God, you're the God of the breakthrough. Yeah, we magnify your name. Ah, you are so worthy, and it's by the power of your Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. And the Lord is just not going to let me get by without saying this last little bit. I wasn't going to share this. He said to me, at the same time that he showed me that thing in the heavens, he said, I want you to quit separating out Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You separate me out and make me three. I'm one God. And even, every time I say that, whoa, do you feel the presence of God? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, one powerful, almighty God. Oh, Father. So I've been practicing. Every time I say Holy Spirit, I say Jesus and Father. I don't mean that he doesn't have different ways that he operates, but I am telling you this, he's one God, and he said to me, don't separate me out anymore. And a second thing that he said to me was, quit separating out the Word of God from me. He said, you look at the Word of God as a Bible. You look at it as a book. This is my intention. This is what I breathe. This is who I am. This is my heart. Now you begin to see the Word of God as God, as God's thoughts, God's power, and don't separate it out. God is doing something to bring unity to the body of Christ. He's doing something to bring unity when there's such disunity and lawlessness upon the land. But he wants us to recognize he's one. His word is one with him. And his word broods on the Holy Spirit. And his word breathes by the Holy Spirit. And his word, the Father's word, goes forth as the word, Jesus, and accomplishes that which it's sent for. And so we just receive from the Lord that he's teaching us and training us. And this is the day where we arise. And I'm just asking you, if you're ready to, one, yield to that structure of moving by the Holy Spirit. Two, consecrating yourself to God afresh. Three, recognizing that the God of the breakthrough has already broken through for you. And four, realizing it's ours to take the harvest through the outpouring of signs, wonders, and miracles of our magnificent God. I just want you to stand then, if you want to make that commitment right now. Just stand. Don't do it lightly. This is costly. This is costly. Oh, God. But oh, what joy. What joy to put aside the earthly things and to see you in the Spirit and your wonders, oh, God. We commit ourselves to you. We consecrate ourselves afresh. Oh, my God, we allow the stirring of the Spirit to cause us to be prophetic beings who walk seeing and hearing, perceiving and understanding, and bringing salvation, salvation, salvation. The fields are white unto harvest. Oh, we consecrate ourselves to go into the harvest. You put those people before us, Lord. We will go by your Holy Spirit. We praise your holy name. Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Rise up, stand strong. You know, a young man last night had a vision. He was so excited. And it falls into what both Judith and Jude are saying. He saw fire on all the houses in Anchorage. His eyes were just excited. I think it might have been one of his first visions. And he said, every house had fire on it. And when he said that, I instantly knew what was happening. God's presence, remember what we talked about last night? God's presence has settled on the Anchorage Bowl, on every house, every building, every structure. His fiery presence has settled. And that means his angels are with him. And they're hovering over the whole Anchorage Bowl, saved and unsaved, businesses, hospitals, schools, houses. And those that are, when you feel that anointing, your hearts are lifted. Like today, you move into that arena, that realm, and you're receiving from him. You are receiving from the King of Glory, the only true God, one God. One God alone, and he is hovering upon us right now. Whoa. And anything we need, we go to him. Begin to ask him, what should I do? Should I do this? Should I do that? Do I go here? Do I go there? Do I stay? Do I move? Just make him the one who makes the decisions in your lives. And as you continue to do that, and you're praying to become even more and more keenly sensitive, you're going to have to be dull as a brick to miss his voice. because his voice is coming with great power and it's increasing and increasing and increasing. Yes, he is visiting the planet. He is just like he told us he would. Just like he told us he would. Robert.
You know, God is building. You can just have a seat for a minute. Last night, Mary, in part of her message, she says, be prophetic. You know, it's hard to be prophetic when there are so many things that are blocking our ears and blocking our ability to hear the Lord. I feel like this morning was so key as far as in the prayers of renouncing those statements that we've made. I'll never do that again. Things like that. The things that have blocked us and the agreements that we actually made with the enemy. But it's so key this morning that those things have been removed, so that we can truly walk with him and with the Lord. And I just have to be honest. Last night, you know, things were going. We were setting up. The Spirit of God was here in when we were practicing in the worship and things. But all of a sudden, when I got up to open up, there was something that happened that was coming. And it was just trying to shut me down. So I prayed, you know, and I'm like, okay, well, we'll just go into worship. We'll do that. And I just kept on feeling this thing, and I kept on feeling. I said, well, my wife, she's got that breaker anointing. And I said, hey, can you go and can you pray? And she says, she just stood there for a second, and she says, that's what you're supposed to do. And I thought to myself, wait a second, I don't have that breaker anointing. But you know what? Sometimes God requires for us to take a step forward by faith. And you know what? It's not always going to come from, okay, God's speaking to me to do this. Sometimes he speaks through others. And he's saying, do this. So I went ahead and just stepped out and started praying, encouraging others, come on, let's pray. Let's shake off the dust. Let's get rid of those things that are hindering us. And all I can say is that I feel such a sacred place. Something sacred that's taking place here in this morning service. And I just feel the building of what he wants to do. He's doing something and he's building. And let's keep our hearts open to what he has for us. Because this evening I feel like, you know, I don't know quite what it is, but this evening, I feel like his outpouring is going to be here in a new and a special way. So I invite you to come in. We're just going to be led by the Spirit. Eleanor is going to be speaking tonight. And let's come in expecting. Let's invite those that we feel like should be here. And let's come in and do this thing together. Father, we bless you. We honor you. We glorify you. Thank you for all that you have done, Father, that for your deliverance, for setting us free, God, for the healing in our hearts, God. Lord, our ears are open to you and your Spirit. And we are willing to do what you want us to do, Lord. Bless your holy name, Jesus. Father, Holy Spirit, we bless you, God.
This is a word for you, Robert. Eleanor, you can come if you want, but I know this is for Robert. Hallelujah. Whoa. Oh, Robert, the Spirit of God says to you that he's taken you down piece by piece. Like when pickup sticks are thrown out on the table and they're just taken apart. And he has taken this out and taken that out and changed this out and changed that out. Because he likes what he has made, and he's rearranging. He's rearranging the structure of your very being, because authority is the thing that he is fashioning and that you will wear like a crown on your head and like a robe upon your shoulders. Authority is the thing that you're stepping into, because I've ordered the structure of your being. I've ordered your heart, and you have yielded it to me. I have seen those times when the cost has been great, and you have laid your heart before me, and you have trusted me with the impossible. You've trusted me to mend your broken heart. You've trusted me to enlarge your heart. You have trusted me to cause to come forth from your heart the very words of God. And now is a time, says the Spirit of God, where you will step through a threshold. This is a time, says the Spirit of God, where a doorway is before you. And I am beckoning you through that doorway. And I am saying, come up across that threshold into this new place, says the Spirit of God. It's a place of authority. It's a place of carefully chosen words full of weight and full of wisdom. God says, I've caused you to be that kind of man who will go with a tender heart that is pastoral to those that are broken, who will go with an apostolic word of correction and direction. I've caused you to be the man who rises before me as you step through this threshold. The Spirit of God says, I will cause the seven eyes, the wise, the wisdom of the Spirit of God to come upon you in a fuller way. And as you walk through, you will see 360 degrees. You will see all around you the things of the kingdom. You will see without obstruction, without a warping, without a lack of understanding, because I am putting my understanding and my wisdom, my eyes within you, says the Spirit of God. It's the eyes of the Spirit that you will operate in. And your word will not fall upon ears that do not hear. Your word will fall even as my word falls, without it falling to the ground. It will fall into the hearts of people, for you're one who is made to equip people to take a hold of them in their brokenness and cause them to stand upon their feet. You are one who will say, come on, come on, and you give them a little push in the back, and they go a little farther. They go a little deeper into the things of the kingdom of God. God says, you're my man for this hour. Step through this threshold and don't hold back, says the Spirit of God, for I will lead you and I will direct you, and my words will be the words that come out of your mouth. You are my man. You are my man, says the Spirit of the Lord.
Father, I say yes and amen. I say yes and amen. I'm stepping forward in all that you want me to be, Lord. I say yes and amen. Debbie DeLong, as I was being prophesied over, it was hard for me to focus because I was seeing a vision. And what I saw, it was like this, like you were kind of hunched down, and like there was this ceiling that was over the top of you. And you were kind of going like this, and it was almost like there wasn't any room. There wasn't any room there, and it's like you're going like this. And I saw the hand of the Lord just come and put his fist on that thing, and it shattered all around you and fell on the floor. And you stood up, and it's almost like I saw the wings of the Lord attach itself to you, and you began to rise up in his spirit. And he's saying that things that you have experienced in the past and the visitations of the Lord that you have experienced in the past were good. but he's taking you up higher to a new place, a place that you have never experienced before. And the power of the Lord is going to flow through you and those that are connected to you. It's going to flow through worship, but you're entering into a prophetic place where he's going to speak to you and he's going to flow through you. His power and his anointing of healing and deliverance is going to take place for you and your family. And it's like I saw your husband, Ken. It was interesting because I saw him and he was standing up with his arms up. And then it's like I saw you standing. He was holding your feet up and you were standing on top of him. He was lifting you up. So basically what I was hearing the Lord say is, he is the strength that is holding you up in this place, the spiritual strength. He is your spiritual strength. God is going to flow through you. And Ken is releasing you, is what I heard. But he's your strength in all that God wants to do. Father, we just bless you. And there's connections. There are connections from the past that have been broken off. There's those spiritual connections that have been broken off from a past season, from hurts and things like that. I just hear the Lord saying that he's bringing some of those connections back that he said were not supposed to be broken off. He's bringing them back because there's power in what he has. There's power in those connections. There ain't too much else I have to say. Let's come back tonight and see what God does. I love you guys.